Okay, good evening, everybody. This is Gordon, W2 Tango Tango Tango, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. This net is run every week at 9 p.m. on the Chestnut Ridge repeater, Chestnut Ridge Radio Club repeater, on 146.955 megahertz. The PL is 141.3. PL is 141.3, otherwise known as Motorola Tone 4 Alpha. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic, please call. K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo. Alrighty, very good. Well, good evening, everybody. What's wonderful about the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net is that it's available to all radio amateurs of any license class that is authorized to operate in the 2-meter band. You do not need to be a member of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. You do, however, have to be inquisitive and also a little forthright. And here's what I mean. We need you to check in even if you don't have a question, even if you don't have a comment, even if you have not a new thought in the world, we still need you to check in. Why is that? Because we think that we might want to ask you a question as part of the dialogue. This is a dialogue. It's a conversation among radio amateurs on things related to amateur radio, electronics, computers, electricity, telecommunications, things in our society that use those things, emergency preparedness, public service, education, pretty much anything, absolutely anything. In fact, we have something to talk about today related to education. We had a contact with the space station early in the week from Fairlawn High School. That's kind of neat, too. We'll talk about that. So, whether or not you have a question or a comment or a concern, we'd like you to check in at some point tonight. So, with that in mind, let us begin. The way we check in, let me drop it for a second. Okay, the way we check in is we use our call sign, our name, and then we indicate whether we have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. That's pretty straightforward. Your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, comment, both, or none of the above. All right, we also do this in one other little bit of order, and that is that we look for you to check in by call sign or call sign group. And we do that, again, to make it a little more orderly, because otherwise it would be a chaos when everybody just jumps in all together. I'm going to start out the call sign, FM, you know, congestion land. That's no fun. So, with that in mind, let us begin. Stations whose call signs begin with the letter Whiskey, please call K2BAR with your call sign and your name. If you have a question, comment, both, or none of the above, please call K2BAR.
W2JDK, Don with a comment.
Good evening, Donald. Glad to hear you have a comment and that you checked in. Excellent. Are there any other whiskey stations? Alrighty. Well, let's try something else then. Let's try November stations. Any station whose call sign begins with November.
NS2KHM, and no comment at this point.
K2VAR? Actually, I'm going to have a question before we start down everybody else's question. We'll get there in a minute. All right. Any other Novembers?
K2VAR? This is N2OEL. One question about stupid NICAD battery chargers.
Excellent. We now, as opposed to intelligent chargers, now we have stupid ones. This would be excellent. Okay, thank you, Noel. Any other Novembers?
And that's 2K.
Yeah, Jim. 2K, go.
Oh, Fantas 2K, Jim. No question at this point.
Okay, I got you before, but okay. Welcome aboard. Alrighty. I have have so far W2JEK, NS2K, N2OBL. Any other Novembers? Alrighty. Any Alpha stations? Alrighty. Alpha stations are so noted. Let's see. How about those Kilo 2s?
K2DSL, David, no questions or comments.
Oh, David, we haven't heard from you on this net in a while. Good to hear you back. Alrighty. Welcome aboard. Any other Kilo 2s?
K2Zulu Oscar, no questions, no comments.
Jim, very good. You sound like your mobile. Very good. All right, any other Kilo 2s? Okay, any other Kilos, all kinds.
K2SQV, happy St. Patrick's Day. No comments or questions at this time.
Good evening, James. K2SQV, I got you. Very good. Any other Kilos?
KA2SBL, no questions or comments.
Mike, good evening to you. Very, very good to hear you as well. Pardon me. A little dry up here, a little warm in my shack today. It hit the 60s today, and all of a sudden the shack needs an open window. All right, very good. Any other Kilos?
KP2ZMA, Marco, no questions or comments.
Good evening, Marco, very good. Any other stations? Okay, any stations with, by any call sign? Please check in with your call sign, your name. Indicate whether you have a question or comment, both or none of the above. Please call K2BAR. Well, guys, today I decided to do something I haven't done in a while, and that is operate FM Fox. I got a 1 second delay on my end key, which is too bad, but, you know, if I can just remember not to go too much, it'll be all right, and we'll go from there. But I just did want to get a quick audio report. Anybody want to give me an audio report about the quality of the audio? And yes, I am a little hoarse, in case you're wondering. It's welcome to spring. So anybody have any comments about the audio quality of the control operator W2TDBAR?
This is K2DSO. You sound fine to me.
Okay, thank you, David. You had a pretty critical ear. Anybody else?
Sounds like you, Gordon. KO2OK, late check-in.
Hey, Bennett, I got you. Very good, and thank you for that. And there was a station who doubled with you. Who was that?
W2JEK, your audio sounds good.
Hey, I'm not going to beat this to death. I think I have three positive reports who say they sound like me. This is actually a DX cartridge on a Pro set. So that's kind of interesting. So, very good. Alrighty, Don, your question, your comment, I should say first, W2JEK, K2BAR.
Okay, this is K2BAR in the net, W2JEK. Just remind everybody we're having a test session tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at the high school in classroom 123. This is our regular scheduled BARA's test session for the month. And the one after that will be on April the 15th, which is also on a Friday night. If anybody can't make tomorrow night. And people who are studying for journals, please keep in mind that the general class question pool will change as of July 1st. So if you're studying for using the current material, please get your testing done before the end of coming June, this coming June. Back to that, W2JK.
That's very good to know. Yep. Alrighty. Anybody have any questions or comments for Doc? Righty, very good. Any more check-ins for the Amateur Radio Association technical matches? Call K2BAR. Righty. next thing would be a question from Noel to OEL K2BAR.
Thank you. Let's get a little background first. My question is on NiCad batteries. And it doesn't matter what the capacity of the battery is, whether it's a small AAA with 500 milliamp hours or a large D battery with 8,000 milliamp hours available. It doesn't matter. We will call the capacity of the battery as the letter C for capacity. And one of the theories that I had read many years ago was that if you charge a NiCad battery at or less than the rate of 1/10 of C, the battery is relatively safe. In fact, one author went so far as to say you can charge it for days without damage. I was wondering, the first part of the question is that correct?
It depends on the type of the battery. In all honesty, I've seen situations where for some of the more modern batteries, 10% is a little high.
What I was proposing to do is I have some 8,000 milliamp hour individual batteries. They are each a normal NiCad 1.2 volts. I was proposed to build a battery charger using 15 volt power supply DC, whatever I happen to have. I got one so-called CB supply that if I'm not careful, the unloaded voltage is 18 volts, and if you put on about 2 or 3 amp CB set, the voltage drops to 14. Anyways, I was thinking of using one of those as my source. What I have is individual holders, two in a pack. And I find that I use these batteries. I have several lanterns that use 4. I got a few lights that use 2. I got some 6-volt devices where the optimum number of batteries would be 5. And I have a radio where the number of batteries is 6. So what I was going to do was take an LM317, set it up as a current regulator. So constant current out would be 400 milliamps. And I seem to have some really nice big heat sinks. I mean some really nice heat sinks that I just acquired at the last auction. Probably the nice one with the copper channels on it, so probably would dissipate 30 or 40 watts without a fan. And these things would do much better with a fan, even the small ones. So what I was going to do was set up 3 of these double packs, and on the last 2 packs, screw in a sheet metal screw so I could use a jumper wire. If I chose to, I could put in 4 batteries, jump the little jumper, and I would have 4. I could put 5 in series, or I could put 6 in series. And with the LM317 set up that way, it would always put out 400 milliamps at constant current. The idea being that no matter what I'm charging, whether it's 4 batteries, 5 batteries, or 6 batteries, I would be able to charge it. Now, it's very wasteful. I know that, because I'm supplying, 15, 16 volts, and I'm using, 4.8 up to 7.2, I guess, if I have 6 of the batteries. I know it's wasteful, and I'm prepared to accept the waste. I'm just thinking, if I charge these batteries...
Repeater. Repeater. Timeout. Clear.
Oops. For about 10 seconds. So we got the, you're willing to take the loss for the constant charge, and then we lost the last part.
And the reason I'm willing to take the loss to do this is I happen to have 80 of those batteries. So this way, And how often do you really charge up? I mean, when Mr. Javits says charge batteries, I'd like to be able to charge a whole bunch right then and there. I'm not going to be charging them a lot. When we go on a camping trip, I'll charge it up before we go. Use the lanterns. 800 milliamp hour battery into a LED lantern. Got to last probably 3 or 4 weeks of normal use. So I don't anticipate giving these batteries hard or often usage. But I'm thinking a dumb battery charger would be the answer. So the question is, at 400 mil into an 8,000 milliamp hour battery, do you think this is a workable solution, and would I be damaging anything if I left them sitting overnight for a charge?
I think I'd like to reduce the current level. 400 milliamperes into how many cells in parallel?
No, they're in series. That's the whole idea. I could put in 4 in series, 5 in series, 6 in series. The batteries are 8,000 milliamp hours, so I'm putting in a 1/20th of capacity rate. So I'm doing half of, instead of 1/10th, I'm doing 1/20th. So theoretically, if I started with all dead batteries, I could charge them up in approximately 24 hours.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. I wasn't sure if you were going to have multiple instances of that in parallel. My basic thought on this is that I would reduce the charge current a little bit once they've come up to a full level. If you want to charge them at a hot level initially, or even a medium flow kind of rate now, it's fine. But 1/10th is still a very, very high rate, to load down a battery that's fully charged.
If I was proposed to start with 1/20th, and I could always put a little switch in there with the resistor setup to switch in or out and maybe go to 1/50th rate once they've been charging for several hours.
That would be fine. If you charge them at 1/50th of a rate, you can leave them on trickle forever. You probably could even leave nickel metal hydrides on at that rate, for that matter. Lithium is a whole other problem because they have their own charge circuit built into the battery pack itself. But nickel metal hydride and certainly NiCad, you can do that way over.
Well, my idea is, in case somebody says charge your batteries, I have a box of those. I have 80 batteries or 78 batteries. I got the auction at the Bear auction. I got a box. So I got 78 of them. I also have, I bought off of eBay, these nice little two-cell holders, and they come with the built-in fuses. I think they're using 24-gauge wire to interconnect the cells, so you don't even have to worry about a fuse. You got the fuse built in with connections.
Very nice. That's very, very nice. Anybody else have any strategies on charging batteries? Okay, well, the nickel metal hydrides we received recently from Nico, what I've done is I've taken them in some 12-volt packs, and the problem with 12-volt packs is that, it's hard to get like 16, 17 volts on them to charge them. So what I did instead was I broke the packs in half for charging purposes, and I used a lower voltage. When they're put into the actual use, I put them into a different holder that holds 12 all at once. But I have a charging holder that dual fixes, and that's roughly 7.2 volts. So, you give about, put 9 volts on it, it's plenty. Even if you have a low battery condition, in one case, you can the last little bit out of it, use those to charge them, and then go from there. But right now I have it set up that's got two, and I'm going to make two more for a total of four, so I can charge 24 batteries at once, and that should be plenty. And then I'll have these shillelagh-like holders that I made up. Some of you may have seen them. The 12-cell holder I built up to out of a piece of PVC, as I did the shorter ones. And I actually have some brass hardware screwed into the end of the cap, and I use a screw cap on one end and a permanent one on the other. The interesting thing is I also have a second cap for these, so that if I want to transport them while in the holders, I have a second cap that has no contact on it, just to keep them in the sleeve, and act as an insulated transport mechanism to keep them organized. Anyway, reason for 12 cells instead of 10 or 11 is that I wanted no voltage sag in the system when using, let's say, a high-power radio. I wanted to be able to use a 100-watt radio, albeit briefly, for that purpose. My next strategy is to put a thermal couple into the pack, so that if it overcharges, starts to heat up, it'll cut the voltage off the batteries so it can't charge. And the other thing I want to do is work a circuit so that I can charge it in parallel and then drain it in series and actually leave them that way. So essentially a six-month-six pack, all in one. And so I 12 to drain and 6 cells to charge, so I can take maybe 8 or 9 volt charger and just keep a constant trickle voltage across that. I got to play some games with some diodes. I think it'll work just fine. Might have some 10 volts. Has anyone tried that? Let me ask this question. Has anyone tried charging two halves of a pack, but in parallel, but drawing off the pack in series? Tried to do that before, over?
I would think you'd actually have to do some switching, not just diode steering, MS2K.
I was hoping to do the diode switching, but you're probably right, Jim.
Yeah, the other concern that I have is on the long strings of batteries. Is there any give in the length to accommodate any thermal expansion or whatever, or is it a hard connect on both ends?
That's actually, right now the battery holders are both for charge and discharge are PVC. I was thinking of, I forget what the other plastic is. It's a softer plastic that's used in water lines, like for irrigation systems. And it also has the added advantage of not only being more flexible, but that should a battery explode, that it would split and not what they call shatter like PVC would.
Oh, the black direct berry stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But they don't have that in most of the stores. You have to go to the specialty plumbing store during the winter, or you have to wait for Home Depot and Lowe's to stock it maybe now or maybe a month or two from now. Right?
Yeah, it sounds like a spring, early summer kind of product. And it's okay.
Good point. So by inference, you raised another question. That is the thermal nature of the pack important? Now, what you can do, if you're monitoring it, and if there is much thermal expansion, that's a question mark as much as anything, is you could conceivably just screw down the cap less when the cells have expanded, and I think that's pretty much what you do, over.
I would tend to put a spring under one of the screws. Yeah, maybe the cap has a little bit of a spring under it, so that after you've screwed it down and the and you say you're charging it and it gets a little bit warm, you know, it doesn't put too much pressure on the battery.
Okay, we can do that. We'd have, you know, just go. I'll just go down and get a. They have those conical springs. You can buy them in the hardware store and buy one. Scrape a little bit, solder it to the brass hardware, and then insert it into the device. The other approach is to use put it on the other end and use two nuts to hold the conical spring in place over top of the end of the quarter 20 brass bolt, and that way the flex of the of the spring will take up the slack, or should we say give it as needed. Over.
Yeah, you could use either a metallic spring or maybe even a piece of rubber, like a cork, a rubber cork stopper or something like that, rubber stopper. But you would connect the wire using two nuts to the same bolt, so there's no, you know, electrically it's always solid regardless of any motion.
I have to think about that because the way it's mounted, I'd have to show you what I have, but yeah, very good. We could certainly do that. Pardon me. So anybody else have any comments about charging? Yeah, let me emphasize one point, and I'm going to hand it back to Noel. If you build a charger for these batteries, whether it's nickel metal hydride or for NiCad or even lithium ion of some sort, and you decide to encase them in PVC, really, really, really have to be careful because they will explode and they make a lot of force when they explode. And if you don't believe me, I can show you what a battery looks like after it explodes. It's really nasty. I've blown two packs in my shack, and there's a hole that's almost all the way through a piece of a half-inch or 5/8 sheetrock that went right through almost when a battery blew up, or a battery pack blew up. So anyway, too busy for overcharging it. At voltage. All righty. End of the story on that one. Let's see. So yeah, do be careful and consider the use of other materials going forward, such as the softer plastic that they use for irrigation systems. Over to Noel and to OEL.
Well, I was headed to use individual holders where most of the battery is exposed to the open air, and they each battery has its own spring-loaded contact. So this way, if something starts fizzing, it's not going to be confined. And to OEL.
I think that's absolutely fine. That's absolutely fine. I get the impression that Neville just scored. In any case, that would be... that'd be a fine way of handling it. I've been thinking of a couple other things to ponder on this, and one of them is take some PVC and build holders. Instead of, you see, what I would do is I would section out, let's say, a major portion of one cell or two cell height. Worth of space on a PVC, a tube, and then make a bunch of them in parallel and glue them to a piece of lucite, one up and one down, and put those contacts in on either side and just charge them a bunch of them in parallel. That was my other thought. If it's snap-in holders out of PVC or lucite tubing, I could even make a polyethylene tubing in something less nasty. But, basically just use the shape of the cylindrical tube as a form just to guide the breeze into place, but not to totally encapsulate them. Somewhat like a conventional battery holder, like you were saying. So, well. All right, anybody else?
One more question.
I think somebody had something else on this topic before we go to the next question. Noel, so hang on. What was the other station?
Okay, and that's okay.
Hey, go ahead, Jim.
One of the things you might do, it just occurred to me, is I was getting a little concerned about your long PVC tube building up pressure, especially if one of the cells got excited. You could do either drill some vent holes, or you could make a saw cut periodically, a shortcut. Along the thing, but along the lengthwise, so it still has a strength along the length, but it's thoroughly vented. And if a cell were to explode, you wouldn't be creating a whole lot of shrapnel, that sort of thing. And that's okay.
Actually, that's a good idea. And not that, but I could take a Faber saw and rip it down the entire length. Take a 16th of an inch or 8th of an inch all the way down. There's no reason why not to. And that would also provide some flexibility should the cell expand too, because it will kind of just stretch along that opposite that side and keep the thermal profile down to a dollar or two. But you're a good idea.
Yeah, I might not do it the whole length. I might do shorter cuts. I don't know. You'd have to experiment with it. It would be something that would take some experimentation.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. All right. Anybody else?
Well, I had the question of the same thing.
Well.
So you're saying if I wanted to put 31 of these batteries, the D-cells, in a row, I could go to my friendly Home Depot or Lowe's, get a piece of plastic pipe, put the 31 in the tube, and maybe I might have to use some tubes because that's just kind of long. And then I would possibly make the slices, but I don't think I'd want to slice the whole length because that thing is going to just fall in half. It'll just rip open. If I sliced a couple inches and then moved the thing 45 degrees, made a slice for another couple inches, moved it for another 45 degrees, rotated, do another couple inches. I'd have a series of spots for ventilation, and I'd be able to put all 31 batteries in.
Having trouble with, you're going to put 31 batteries in series?
Yes.
What are you running, a telephone office?
A electric tricycle that uses three 12-volt batteries, which were 12.8-volt nominal. 3 times 12.8 is
36.7, 38.4 nominal. Okie dokie. I guess the answer is sure, I guess. Hadn't thought about that, but sure.
They're going to get warm when you discharge them at about the 15 amp rate.
You know why you built that slot in there? See, it's interesting that the competition between key down time and current drain versus transmit life cycle is very different for a motorized device than it is a push-to-talk radio, over.
And it's okay.
Jim?
Well, I'm concerned. Noel, you're talking about discharging at 15 amps. This is only an 8 amp hour battery. I don't know that you can discharge at that kind of rate.
I think you're allowed to discharge a NiCad at 3 or 4 times capacity rate. I'm not sure. We have to go for Gordon on that one.
It depends on the battery, but yeah, 2-1 might. Yeah, and there are some that'll go up to 4, but I'm thinking for NICAD, 2-1 might be pushing it. Think about that. Take a 5-watt radio, and yeah, really, one's going to be pretty hard on the battery. So.
Well, my 5-watt radio, you got to figure with the inefficiencies, got to use at least 10 watts, and I'm using 4, 8, 8, AA. So that's 9.6 volts, 10 watts. Well, that's about an amp.
But they're rated for about an amp.
Yeah, but that's a AA. What could I do with a D?
Not a whole lot. Well, I mean, I guess you could take 8 of them out, but boy, that'd be pretty nasty. You know, just like a nasty for your HD at 1 amp. At a AA battery for this, it's pretty nasty. Even the day at 8, let alone 15. That's my point. Is I think I'm agreeing with Jim. But no. And 2AL.
Okay, so what you convinced me to do is leave my propulsion to my 33 amp hour lead acid gel cell, which will, by the way, do 30 amps, no problem. My box has 30 amp circuit breaker several times going across rough terrain. And use the 8 amp hour for my HDs and power everything off of that. Sounds like a plan. And 2 AL.
I think that'd be safer. It's probably a lot more reliable and satisfactory. I mean, the size of the battery versus the you have in mind, I think, is more suited to that latter application than the one. Alrighty. Anybody else have any questions, comments, concerns? Anybody have any more questions at all? Ready? Well, are there any late check-ins that I didn't hear about?
Yeah, WE2R, Charlie. Shut up, late.
Sorry, Charlie. You know, we'll still feed you. We've been feeding you information for the last little bit. Welcome aboard.
2 AMI, Tony.
Is that Tony?
Tony with a very sore throat. Just listening on the side. No comments.
Tony, very good. Alrighty. Well, good to hear you as well. Any other check-ins early? Okay, well, let's do a recap here. On Monday, Zach, KC2RSS, and Valpo Gene, WE2HID, and Steve, WITW, and a few other folks got a very nice contact done with the International Space Station. It worked very, very well. They worked in the 1SS just fine. Paolo, the Italian astronaut, is on board the station right now with last-minute change because the American astronaut who's aboard, I forget her name, had other duties to attend to during that time, and so Paolo picked up that duty. It went very, very well. A little bit of pins and needles initially, because about a minute before the acquisition of signal, Zach started to call, and about a minute and a half after acquisition, the signal should have occurred, was what he finally answered, and he answered crystal clear. It could be, it was awesome. So if you go to the AMSAT.org /EchoLink website, there'll be a contact 601, I believe it is, and it was from Monday morning, or early afternoon. We hope that you'll check that out, and congratulations to Zach and the whole team in making that happen. Does anybody have any questions about that? Please call KTBAR. Brady? No, I don't have any more. Anybody have any last legs here?
Comment on the contact.
Yes, Jim.
I thought it was rather neat. I did manage to listen at work, both off air and on the AMSAT Echo Link, and it was really quite good. Of course, I noticed when Zach was calling, looking at my watch. It's like, I don't think they made a mistake, but you know, God knows, there's always room for error, or they got busy, or you know, something happened. But it was sure a relief when the guy showed up. That was, I'm sure folks were just sweating bullets, but it all seemed to go very, very well, and I was most impressed. And it's 2K.
For those who have seen or are part of the video, you could actually notice that Zach, but he still maintained his poise. It was very cool. Very, very cool. Alrighty. With that in mind, anybody else have any comments? Alrighty. Very good. In case, thank you to everybody for a wonderful net. About it for tonight, and we'll be seeing you next week on Thursday for the Bergen Amateur Technical Net. And I would like to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio for their repeater. And this is K2BAR W2DTP repeater to normal amateur radio.